Good morning. I think we've all familiar with the phrase, something's come full circle. Today is a day that something is coming full circle. One, you won't hear me speak today, so that's a blessing in itself. We have a person here that many of you may remember him as Nathaniel. Some of you will remember him as Mark. Some now know him as Nate. I remember many years ago working with Nate and his sister Natalie as small young people in the church. He is now working on his degree in theology. He will be speaking to us today, Howard and Barbara's youngest son, Nathaniel. Thank you for being here today, Nate.
Well, hello. How y'all doing? It's good to see you.
Very good.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Valerie, good to see you. Good to see you. Dad. Okay, fine.
It's too fast. Love you, sweetheart.
I love you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for coming.
Is that all I get?
That's all. Oh. How is everybody doing?
I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver. Hogging up the road with my purple, purple flower. Checking like a lucky 5 miles an hour. I'm a international harvester.
Give this to Mom real quick. It would be impressive if I don't get a little teary. It would be a miracle if Mom doesn't bawl her head off. We were over at Mom and Dad's last night, and I told Dad, I said, don't be going to church tomorrow, telling all my brothers and sisters and all the family that I came over tonight with inch and a half thick porterhouse steaks and grilled them on the grill for everybody. I will tell them myself. Well, we were over there last night, and Dad was telling some of his stories. And I wasn't actually at the table. I was cooking dinner, but I heard him telling the story. When he was 17, he got a job on a farm. Now, he'd grown up on farms, but as he tells it, his dad did farming the old-fashioned way, on rented land with mules and tools and hard labor. But he got a job on a farm, and this was a big farm with equipment that he'd seen but never touched. But he got the job by saying, yeah, I can do that. He didn't let the fact that he was ill-equipped and ill-prepared and unqualified stop him from running a combine. But I am not my dad. And when Kurt got a hold of me the other day and said, hey, is there any possibility you could come and preach on Sunday? The first thing I thought of was how ill-equipped and ill-prepared and unqualified I am to do such a thing. And I thought back to that first sermon I ever heard from Ernie Procy. Now, it would be impressive if you even remember or know who Ernie Procy is. But it would be a miracle if you remember his first sermon. I happen to. I'm counting on you not. I know I said I stole this sermon from Ernie Procy. I didn't really. But it got me thinking about his very first sermon illustration, which is about toe dipping. And we dip our toes in the water. And we only dip our toes in the water because we feel ill-equipped and unprepared and unqualified. So we never get out into the deep end. We're just there to dip our toes in the water. And then I thought about September 24th, 1987. All right. It would be impressive if off the top of your heads you knew what happened that day. It would be a miracle if you remember who spoke that day. But Mark McCauley gave his first sermon that very day at the Cotillion on the Feast of Trumpets. And I remember that's the very first time that still small voice whispered in my ear, "Go." Now, I was only 12 or 13 years old, but even then I knew that I was only ever going to be a toe dipper. I was only ever going to get my feet wet, because no matter what, I would always be ill-equipped and unprepared and unqualified. But after church that day, I remember Mom standing up in the aisle, bawling her head off about how proud she was of Mark McCauley, because it was impressive that he was given a sermon, but it was a miracle that he was in church that day. And I remember thinking, I'd like my mom to do that for me someday. And it would be impressive if I could make her do that for me. But it's a miracle that I'm even standing here. In the book of Luke, he tells a story about how Jesus sent out the 72. But he tells that story. And the 72, he'd already sent 12, but he'd called 72 more, and he'd sent them out. And these 72 felt the same way a lot of us might think sometimes, that they were just toe dippers, that they were ill-prepared, that they were ill-equipped, or that they were unqualified. But he sent them. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are welcome and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me.'" They'd been sent out, ill-equipped, ill-prepared, and unqualified. And they didn't want to go. They didn't have the resources. They couldn't even take anything with them. Now, we like to theologize that part, that they went completely unprepared, no sandals, no purse, no extra clothes, don't talk to anybody on the road. But the fact is, they were going out into a place that did not necessarily want them there. They were being sent out into a place where even the mention that someone else might be the Son of God, that the Messiah might be here, could lead to a sentence of death. They were being sent out into a place like Samaria, where the Samaritans were their brothers from long, long ago, and now they were enemies. And they were going out and being asked to go into these houses, ill-equipped, unprepared, and unqualified, and preach the gospel, preach that the kingdom is coming. And they were afraid to do this, but they went. They went out into the harvest field. They did what they were asked to do. They did what they were told to do. Ill-equipped, unprepared, and unqualified. And we know that they didn't want to go because they came back happy. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." As though they were surprised that their lack of qualifications somehow still they were able to speak for Jesus. And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So we've each been called, and it's our choice to be toe dippers or to jump out there, because we are ill-equipped and we are ill-prepared and we are unqualified. But the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times, I fear myself. Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired of trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times, I fear myself. I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now.
We are far from the shallow. If we choose to be, we can choose to simply get our feet wet at Passover. We can choose to simply get our whole bodies wet at baptism. But we often stop right there. We get baptized. We do the things we're supposed to do. We come to church. We give the offerings. We pray the prayers. We take communion. And then we're done. We have done our duty. But we forget that just like the 72, just because we are ill-prepared, just because we are ill-equipped, and absolutely because each one of us will simply never be qualified, but it is still our duty to go out into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody. We are called to be those international harvesters. We are called to go out into our communities. We are called to go out into our states. We are called to go out into our countries. We are called to go out across the globe. and share that message that the kingdom is near, that Jesus has given all for us. But we're often just like 73. There has to have been somebody who said, no, I'm simply not going to go. Just like I was when I was 12. Just like I was when I was 14. Just like I was when I was 16 and I left home. Of all the people to be called to this work, I'm sure there have been worse people in the world who called. Paul was called. Paul was a murderer. Paul is responsible for the first martyr. Paul was responsible for the stoning of Stephen. Now, he didn't throw any stones. He was too busy holding everybody's coats so that they had a chance to throw a rock. And none of the 72 wanted that to happen to them. And yet they all chose to go out with nothing, no food, no provision, no extra clothes, counting on the resources provided to them by God when they got wherever they were going, counting on the fact that God would provide for them. And they went out and they preached the gospel. And their job was not simply to let people know. Their job was to collect people. Their job was to reap the harvest. Now, I didn't grow up on a farm. I was lucky enough I didn't have to grow up with some 18th, the 17th, 16th century tradition. I mean, after all, my dad's a blacksmith. Thank you for getting that joke. I was worried about it. But I do know that no matter what your job is, on the farm, or if you're ancillarily related to someone who farms, or if you know somebody who farms, that during the year, the farmer does the work, whatever it takes to keep the farm going. But at harvest time, everybody is a harvester. Everybody pitches in because the harvest will not wait. When the wheat has grown, when the corn is ripe, when the soybeans do whatever soybeans do, you have to go out into the field and you have to get them immediately. And if you don't, they will rot on the vine. They will rot in the ground. And all the work that has been done by the farmer will have been for nothing. If the harvesters, if the workers don't go out into the world and grab all that has been sown, all that has been grown, all that has been done, all the work that has gone into sharing that work, to sharing what Jesus has done for us, they will have been for nothing. And that is our job. That is what each of us has been called to do. Each of us has been called to share with the people around us. Not just the people across the world, not just the people in China, not just the people in Africa, not just the people in the United States, not just the people in Kansas, not just the people in Sedgwick County, not even just the people in Derby, but also the people in this room. We often assume that because they showed up in church, they must be okay. But we forget that the people around us need us to share with them the love that Jesus has shared with us. We must continuously be harvesting. We must continuously be going out and sharing that the kingdom is coming. Sharing that Jesus Christ was sent here and died for our sins. I often forget, just like when Kurt called me and said, hey, can you come and preach? I've been waiting for this day for 32 years. Not just to preach in church. I preach in churches all the time. And not just to preach with mom and dad in the audience. They've come to see me several times. But to preach, to share Jesus Christ. Not just with mom and dad, but with mom and dad in their church. With mom and dad in the church body that that they have dedicated their lives to. And again, it's impressive that we get to do these things. But it's a miracle that I'm standing here. It's impressive that God sent his only son to die for us. And it was a miracle when all of our sins by grace were forgiven. It was impressive that he chose, knowing that he had a choice, to walk away. It was impressive that wanting that cup to be given to someone else, he still chose to take it. And it was a miracle when he was raised from the dead. And it was impressive when he showed up on that mountain and said, "Go, teach what I have taught to the rest of the world." And it's a miracle that we, 2,000 years later, get to participate in that calling, get to participate in that gifting. And it's impressive when we take what we have learned and we go out into the world and share that message. And it's impressive when we get together as a church. And it's impressive when we go out into the community and do events. And it's impressive when we send people out into the world. And it's impressive when we go across the globe. But it's a miracle when we go across the street. Are we far from the shallows? Are we going to be toe dippers? Are we going to just get our feet wet? Or are we going to dive into the deep end? Are we going to be content with our baptism? Or it is our goal, is our calling, that all should have the opportunity to be baptized? Are we going to be content to just be a small church body? Or are we going to reach out across the street? Are we going to reach out across the community and share what has been shared with us with everyone? Are we going to stay in the shallows? Or are we going to go to the deep? Are we simply going to be small time? Or are we going to be those international harvesters that each of us was called to be? I hope that each one of us, though we are ill-equipped, if we feel unprepared, and if we accept that we are unqualified, that we still take those steps, that we still take that leap of faith, just like the 72, to go out into a world that may reject us, to go out into a world that may fight against us. But we did not go without protection. We did not go without some way to defend ourselves. The 72 took no sandal. They took no purse. They took no food. But it doesn't say anything about not taking a stick. No matter what we do, God will be there to protect us. And yes, it may not work the way we want it to work, but we must rejoice. Not that someone listened to the words that we had to say, but that the words were spoken in the first place. We don't rejoice for ourselves that we have done something good. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Liz always tells me not to just break into prayer. So would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, eternal God, we thank you so much for everything that you have provided us, for all the work that you have done in us and for us. And we're so thankful for the work that you allow us to do for you. We ask that you would be with each one of us as we do everything we can to go out into the world and to share the love of Christ with all of those around us, to share what has been done for us that can be done for them, to go out into our community, to go across the street, and to share the gospel that Jesus Christ was born, died for our sins, and was raised from the dead. And we just thank you so much. And we ask for the strength to accept that being ill-prepared and that being unqualified is not a stumbling block. That we must count on you to provide for us. And we must count on you to be our provision. And we thank you so much. And we ask your blessing in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.